You're listening to Swim Out, a podcast about the fabulous world of outdoor swimming.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of the Swim Out podcast, our second episode of 2024. Today, we'll be talking all about the wonderful world of our swimming community. Presenting with me today, I have Mikey Tees, our lovely voice, and my fellow English Channel swimmer. Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Vicky. It's lovely to be back, and I'm really excited about this episode. Coming up today, I talk to swimmers from Brighton Swimming Club, the oldest swimming club in England.
The swim club and the community that the swim club has provided me with has really encouraged me to step out and embrace new challenges.
Jeff and Bill tell us about their fascinating sober swimming community.
We keep checking in with each other, making sure everybody's okay. It's a deeper relationship than just swimming.
Vicky goes to meet Mama Swim, the swimming community for mums.
People just feel like they can bottle the bravery of going and swimming in cold water or leaving their baby with somebody and going and getting some really decent exercise. They kind of bottle this bravery and this strength.
And we hear all about a film in homage to the River Avon and the community that really loves it.
It was all of us saying, we do, we vow to do our best to love and care and protect this body of water. And it felt really powerful.
A quick reminder, please give us some likes and feedback on your podcast provider's app. Good ratings give our podcast a higher profile and help more people discover us.
We first met on the beach in Dover, didn't we? That's an amazing swimming community, especially if you're swimming the Channel. It's so great to hang out with all those other people doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was 2018 and I was a complete novice and the whole community just welcomed me. It was amazing.
It was really great as well, meeting people who'd already swum the Channel. And at first you were very much in awe of them because they'd done it. But their knowledge and their advice was fantastic. I mean, things that I learned from swimmers like Jackie Cobell, actually, and Nick Murch. Swimming with Nick Murch was great. And I always remember, actually, early on, I swam with this one guy and I had a pain in my shoulder as I was swimming. And I said, oh, I've got this terrible pain. And he said, is this a sharp pain or a dull pain? And I said, it's a dull pain. He said, swim on.
Yeah, it was nice to see as well for me. Some of the swimmers were fast, some weren't so fast. And you can get a gauge that actually everybody can do it. It's not about speed. It's about something else. You know, it's about determination. So that was good because, you know, you train in a pool and everybody is just fast. So it was amazing insight into what was ahead.
And we had Pride on the beach one year, which was really lovely as well.
Yeah.
And we all sort of dressed up with our rainbow stuff. It's a lovely place.
I agree.
Toes in the Water is a fascinating collection of stories of lives changed by wild swimming, edited by Rachel Jones, who is herself a keen open water swimmer and a mental health swims host like me and Mikey. She also helps to run her local swimming group as well as being involved in environmental swimming projects. Welcome to Swim Out, Rachel.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hello.
This episode of Swim Out is all about community and open water swimming, and Vicky and I thought this would be a great place to start our exploration of the topic of community and swimming. So, Rachel, what is it that made you write this book?
I wanted to be able to do something to make a difference to the issue that we have with sewage in our water. And so I have done a previous charity book for teaching where I gave the money to charity. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to do one of those, but for swimming? So I just kind of started to ask around and people were like, oh, I'd love to be involved in that. So everybody that wrote was really keen to get on board. It was really out of wanting to be able to contribute that money towards, you know, charities that would help to hold our water companies to account. So the Rivers Trust are subsidising citizen science water testing projects. And I wanted to be able to contribute some money towards that and kind of make a difference. I mean, I guess for the swimmers, but for the wildlife, for like the rivers are beautiful and like it's so heartbreaking watching what's happening to them.
And have you managed to raise some money?
Do you know what? I don't know how much has been raised. I know the book's sold well and all the monies are going to the charity.
Later on in the programme, we're talking to some people that were involved in that film, Rave On for the Avon. So yeah, it's very important. So you're part of the Hampshire Open Water Swimmers.
I am.
There's a really lovely chapter in the book written by some women. And Julia, I think it is, talks about listening to each other's sorrows. But she also talked about the laughter that they shared. Tell us about your swimming community.
I have found all my forever friends in my swimming group. I'm a neurodiverse grown-up and I never really felt that I fitted in anywhere particularly before. And I think finding my swim family has been the first time where I ever felt totally accepted as myself all the time. Like, I don't have to mask with them. I don't have to be anything. I can just be me without the front. And it is delightful. And we have gone through divorce. We have gone through cancer. We have gone through people losing their homes, like the loss of, like, just the most awful, tragic things. And we just take it to the water and the water makes it better every single time. And we've had the most hilarious, like, you know, people's escaped boobs and like shoes floating off down a river and like people treading in all sorts of stuff. And the just the hilarity of it, like trying to get dressed when your hands are like this and you're just beside yourself with the giggles because you've gone in too long. Or I fished a fish out of my butt crack once, which is terrible. I'm saying it, but it was so funny. I don't know how it got there, this little fish. But honestly, it was
like, I found one down my boob once.
Little wild creature, what are you trying to do? I like ran back to the river with it like this and kind of yeeted it back in. But like those sort of things would just, they just don't happen if you're just hanging out in a book group or in Sainsbury's or something, do they? The emotions are very magnified because the experience is very intense and because you're having all the dopamine and the euphoria of being in the water. And honestly, like the connections I have with those people are my forever people. Like it has been life-changing meeting them.
What do you think it is with the swimming community? Because I agree with everything you've just said, apart from having a fish up my butt crack. But the open water swimming community is such a safe environment. It's such a welcoming environment. Yeah. And what do you think it is that makes it so special and tight?
It does seem to be that swimming attracts kind of nice people. Like I've not gone to a swim and someone said something so outrageous or homophobic or like awful. The other thing is that when you're all stood around trying to get dressed in a force nine gale, kind of quietly questioning your life choices, those things, those social markers of what make us different are stripped away. You know, so there is no real indication of class. There's no indication of a lot of the things that mark us as different. And we are just one group of stupid people who are for some unknown reason climbing in a river in January. And it just seemed to strip us back a bit to the things that are the essential parts of us. I feel very proud of how inclusive and how welcoming like my swim group is. I got a new job recently and we have a Friday swim club. So these are essentially muggles who I'm like, come swimming. And they come swimming. They're like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like, I know. So it's just so nice because I think you have this kind of a bit of a mentor relationship when people start and you're teaching them, this is after drop, don't do that. This is hypothermia, don't do that. And there's this sort of very nice nurturing thing, I think, that we get. You know, like the opposite of a trigger is a glimmer. And there's so many glimmers in swimming, so many beautiful, bright sparks that make it this amazing thing. And we share all of those. So it makes it all interconnected and gorgeous. It's so nice.
So the book is packed full of interesting people and stories. You've got Kate Steeles telling her very moving story, and we hope to have her on the podcast soon. You've had Rachel Ash, heads up Mental Health Swims, and Colin Hill, who worked on many big events, the London Olympics Open Water Swim being just one.
Yep.
So how did you find so many eclectic stories?
I joined a lot of Facebook groups when I found swimming. And I joined a lot of Instagram things. And it's people who I was watching and like admiring and going, this is this cool stuff people are doing. That's amazing. Like, and I think a lot of the people I just met through yapping away at them on Facebook or on Instagram.
I read a few of them, but the one that I really like was the Sarah Barnes one. Not just because I'm from Cumbria, just to be clear. But I love the fact that she said that she didn't have a community, but found her own community. Yeah. And one day there might be a community. And probably through this book sharing it, there's going to be a lot more people going there. Was there any in the book that made you kind of like, I mean, I know you can't pick a favourite, but do you know what I mean? Was there any that really resonate more with you or something like that?
So I really like the chapter that's by Alice Cloquier about when she's swimming and she's looking down and just seeing the diversity of it. And it's like, it's like another world. And I think I had those realizations too, like the first time I swam with goggles on, which sounds so rubbish, but like I just looking and just being like, oh my God, stuff lives here. How beautiful and amazing is that? It's at our behest to look after it. Those sort of moments where you see like this is all the beauty that there is around us, and it's quite overwhelming, isn't it? Like I think the Les Peebles bit about helping other people find wild swimming is beautiful as well, because it really
it's
just this lovely thing about wanting to extend what we have to everybody. Because although I know we look mental, like we all know how good it is, and like one
do you think we come across as the vegans of the swimming world? How do you know you're an open water swimmer? Because they won't shut up about it.
I've not heard that before. I'm going to use that all the time now. That's hilarious. Like, all that we are the vegans of the swimming world. That's hilarious. That's so funny.
Well, we're going to be exploring community and swimming further through this program, but this has been a really, really lovely place to start our discussion. So thank you so much for joining us today, Rachel. One last thing, where can we get a hold of your book?
So you can either get it on Amazon, which I guess is what a lot of people do, or on the Vertebrae Publishing website.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for having me. No fish is safe. Thank you.
Mama Swim is an innovative open water community for mothers and babies. Swimmers get to leave their babies with other mums and grab a refreshing swim. Vicky went along with a friend Grace and her baby son Felix to meet the organisers and try it for themselves.
Here I am at West Reservoir, and I've met up with my friend Grace and baby Felix, and it's your first time here at Mama Swim.
Yes, yes, I'm very excited. Getting back in the water is going to be good, isn't it, Fee? Yeah? You going to say hi? No. Very bemused.
So how are you feeling?
Nervous. Yeah, I'm really nervous about getting back in the water. The thing I'm probably most nervous about is leaving him with someone I don't know.
Okay, let's do it then.
Ladies and babies, welcome to Mama Swim. So this is Laura Stewart, who normally hosts the toddler group on Fridays. Yeah. And this is Hannah, who hosts the baby group. And the idea is that everyone takes it in turns to go and have a swim. But it really does depend on when your baby's happy, when you feel happy. If your baby's asleep, maybe that's a perfect time to go swim.
First of all, congratulations on making it here. That is like the number one hardest part, getting out the door, your swim stuff, your baby stuff. Everyone's here and everyone's happy, so yay. When you're ready to swim, just make a mention to Hannah usually, and she can kind of keep an eye on who's swimming and who's not. We have about two or three moms swimming at a time, so like one changing, one in, one coming out. We kind of try and keep it moving like that, so there's not too many babies.
If baby's not happy, sometimes people kind of think, oh no, I can't go because my baby might cry, and that's not fair on the other mums, but we've definitely all been there. Like Clara's screamed her way through Mama Swim sessions, and obviously it's up to you if you want to go, but don't feel like we can't handle a crying baby.
This is about moms getting the chance to swim, the mental health benefits, the physical benefits of getting out there. Enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the most important part. 2 hours of fun.
Let the madness commence.
We could just swim out to the first white buoy and see how we feel from there. And then if we want to go further, we can do 100. But I think, and even if you feel after 100 like you could do another 100, I'd suggest going up and down the 50 meter rather than doing the big loop.
Yeah, it's so funny, I'm so used to like swim, the thought of it being intimidating to swim 200 is like insane, but it is like you don't trust your body after pregnancy at all, do you? And
you're doing two new things at the same time. You're leaving a baby with essentially strangers, and you're throwing yourself into a pond whilst your baby is not with you. It is always, isn't it? Like, there is nobody who ever comes who isn't nervous on the first
time.
That's
reassuring. Yeah. That's quite nice.
Exactly. Yeah. But the best people possible to look after your babies are people who've got babies
totally.
Too.
Okay, so are you ready for your swims?
Kind of.
Yes.
Very exciting. Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a lovely swim.
Thank you, Vicky.
You look super, super happy. Big, big smile.
Oh, it feels so good. I've got the proper euphoria. That was amazing. Oh, so nice.
So I think the whole point really of Mama Swim is actually to get some time to yourself, some time to like regain that part of you that existed before you had a baby. I think when you're on maternity leave, it's just all consuming. Every single minute of the day is about feeding or changing or watching or, you know, rocking a baby. And you kind of lose just so many different parts of yourself that existed before.
Mum! So here I am with Bridget and Abby. You're the founder members of Mama Swim. How long has it been going?
Mama Swim's kind of been going for about 11 years, really. Initially, we started as a group of kind of mum friends at London Fields Lido, taking it in turns to look after each other's babies on the side of the Lido. Then we moved to, I moved to Walthamstow and kind of reset up the group, and we started swimming at Parliament Hill Lido. And it wasn't until lockdown that all the pools closed. We discovered the West Reservoir, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because it was the only place that was actually still open, and decided that mums more than ever during COVID needed the respite and the break from all the homeschooling and the cooking of meals and the juggling of work and furlough and life and whatnot. By which point, all of the Mama Swim mums who had previously been in the baby group had kind of two-year-olds, so we weren't really still swimming with our kids. So we set up a Sunday group, which was no kids allowed, every Sunday, 9:30 at the West Reservoir. And it kind of went mad, really. We set up an Instagram account, and just mums were coming from all over London, desperate to get out of the house and come and throw themselves into some cold water with another bunch, you know, a bunch of women. We've now got around 1,000 mums in North London who swim at the West Reservoir, London Fields, Parliament Hill, Lido Park Road, and the Feel Good Centre pretty much every day of the week. So,
wow, that's really impressive. So, Abby, what does it mean to you as a mother to have this group?
I think it's just the community, knowing that that group is there, like each day of the week, that you can go and benefit from the peer support, basically, of a group of people with kids of the same age, and that you can go and you know that your baby will be well looked after and loved, basically, for the 20 minutes while you go and have a dip.
Bridget, what ambitions do you have for the future?
We have big ambitions, perhaps too big. I think both myself and Abby thought, you know, there's lots of barriers to swimming and to joining our group, really, that we are on a mission to try and fix. I think swimming, firstly, is the best type of postnatal exercise. I think, you know, it's relaxing, it's low impact, it's, you know, meditative, it's kind of like, it's great to feel the water supporting your body. It's good for your mental health and your physical health, but it's expensive. So there's lots of mums that just would never be able to join our group due to the cost. There's mums who can't swim. There's a massive amount of mums who can't swim in London. So, you know, we're on a mission, really, to try and make it work so that we can start teaching mums that can't swim to swim, so that potentially they're then at least able to, if they're not going to join our group, start taking their own kids swimming. Because if mums aren't swimming, they're not taking their kids swimming. And then there's body confidence, and I think lots of mums after having a baby, like, the thought of putting on a swimming costume is like the absolute last thing that they want to do. However, it is like the best thing, it's going to be the best thing for you to do. So there's certainly a piece of work that we need to do around body confidence and kind of getting mums feeling more confident
And we put ourselves out there on Instagram, and one of the reasons really is to kind of celebrate this mum bods of all different shapes and sizes.
We should say as well, like, we obviously operate within North East London at the moment, but we would love to take the community or open communities in new locations, like across London, but then nationally as well.
We're now registered as a community interest company. We have insurance, expensive insurance, because we're a baby group that swims near cold water. It's hard to fully explain like why Mama Swim is so beneficial, because it's not, there's so many different layers to it. I think that's what we're always trying to get across. The fact that we are looking after each other's babies is massive. I think that reciprocal kind of taking care, I'm taking care of something super precious to you in order to allow you this amazing relaxation, and you're doing the same for me. There's a bond that is immediately kind of made, where you really respect that person in a way that you would never respect them if you just went to a baby music class with them. There's so much more at stake. And a lot of the feedback that we get is that people just feel like they can bottle the bravery of going and swimming in cold water or leaving their baby with somebody and going and getting some really decent exercise. They kind of bottle this bravery and this strength, and they take it with them throughout their week.
So I'm with Flo now. What is it about the group that you love so much?
It feels like a real community. I've made some genuinely, like, very, very good friends now through the group. And it's just, you know, it's amazing to have something that you can take your child to that's kind of really for you, but they also have a great time because they're with other kids and, you know, there's lots of snacks and things to play with. So they have a great time and you get some time to yourself to go for a swim. So I just think it's an amazing thing, really. Such a kind of important community for me and since having a baby.
So Grace, how was your swim?
It was great. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah, really, really nice to be back in the cold water. It was really good. And actually, like, wasn't worried about Felix at all. It was fine. I forgot about you, didn't I? I was just having a nice time, and you were all safe and happy, and then all the older kids are having a great time. So yeah, it's really, really nice, actually. Nice to hang out with them all.
Good. Do you think you're going to keep coming?
Yes, definitely going to come back for sure. Yeah, it was really, really good experience.
Get in touch with the Swim Out podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
So next up, we have Jeff Rake and Bill Cutruff from the I Swim For Foundation, which helps people recovering from substance abuse to live their best lives. This sober swimming community has meant a great deal to both of them. Bill swam at school and college and is the driving force in the organisation. For Jeff, having a community of friends, a mission, a new healthy addiction and healthy lifestyle has helped him to stay sober, and he has inspired many others to get involved in the community. Welcome to Swim Out, Jeff and Bill.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you for having us.
So you founded this group together.
Actually, Jeff was the founder.
I give a lot of credit to Bill because, you know, I kind of put the name out there and kind of wondered, well, what we could do with this. And Bill was really instrumental in driving this forward, you know, saying, well, why don't we do this as a first step? You know, I kind of had the big idea and Bill really helped to make it happen.
And so, how did you meet? Because you live on opposite sides of the States.
We met in 12-step rooms on the East Coast. So Jeff had lived on the East Coast for a period of time and just recently got a job on the West Coast in the San Diego region. So we met, you know, through that and through our fellowship, we learned that we both had, you know, an aquatic background. He painted the picture of his vision. I was very receptive to that, and we worked together with another gentleman to kind of put this whole process together.
So, Jeff, could you tell us a bit about the philosophy behind the group?
Really wanting to demonstrate what's possible in recovery, because I was over 50 years old thinking that, you know, my life was more or less over. And, you know, when I reached that tipping point of realizing, oh, my gosh, I've got plenty of time to accomplish things, to do things, and plenty of time to really make the most out of my life, I wanted to share that. I really wanted to share that with other people who were suffering, because it was like, oh my gosh, look what I've discovered. Even so late in life, I began doing these swims and started raising money for a recovery a recovery charity, but I did the swims kind of in my own, you know, I swim for, under the I Swim For name, thinking that one day I'm going to implement some type of program. And so that's number one, is demonstrating what's possible. And number two is engaging others and involving others, you know, finding pool access. And so I can say to those people, especially those in early recovery, hey, you know, why don't you come swimming? And finally, also, you know, it may give them just a framework for goal setting.
How many groups do you have?
We've got two groups, one in the Philadelphia area and one here on the West Coast. And they're growing, and we're hoping to expand that across the country.
So, Bill, is it only for people who are in recovery, or do other people join, like allies or people who aren't yet there?
We do not preclude anybody. It's really, we're looking for people that champion the process. We have people that swim with us that have no affiliation with addiction, but we also have those who are sympathetic to it. And I'm sure we'll get to it at some point, but we had done a channel relay, and 10 out of the 12 people that participated in this, you know, very lengthy challenge, were impacted either directly or indirectly by substance use disorder.
Tell me a little bit more about this Catalina relay. Jeff, maybe.
Yeah, you know, when I first set the goal of swimming the Catalina Channel, I actually thought, you know, very enthusiastically, or maybe a little bit overly so, that it would be great to swim it solo. And, you know, same year, I'm going to get a bunch of sober people and swim it. When you swim the Catalina Channel, there's a banquet at the end of the season in November, and everyone has the opportunity to speak for a couple of minutes about something. Maybe it's just a funny story that occurred during their swim. Maybe it's, you know, talking about their charity, which is exactly what I chose to do. Talked about the charity, and I said, you know, it's my dream to one day do a relay with swimmers, you know, entirely consisting of swimmers in recovery. And two or three people came up to me afterwards and said, I would qualify for your relay team. And they were the ones based on the West Coast, and that's how the West Coast contingent got started. And so we, you know, it spurred from there. And the next year, the very next year, we accomplished, you know, successful swim across the Catalina Channel.
So one of your swimmers, Katya, was good enough to swim at the Olympics, but things didn't go to plan, and she started drinking. Could you tell us a bit more about her story?
Yes. So she qualified for the Olympic trials, actually both in Russia and when she came to the university in the United States. You know, she experienced a lot of childhood trauma. Her youth precluded her from being able to speak up. And you know, because of that, all of that trauma was held inside, and she found relief with alcohol. And that takes you down, you know, that works until it doesn't work. She ended up moving to the United States, going to school, finding recovery, and she's working through problems. So alcoholism is a mental and a physical disorder, but she's working through that. We had this channel relay last year, where one of the really cool things was for us to get to San Diego and meet the six people that we had never met for the first time, and the fellowship and the community that was built. And it was really the whole overnight process, because it took, you know, at least I think it took about 13 hours for us to all get across, was like a big meeting, a 12-step meeting, which is really just fellowship, sharing what you've experienced, demonstrating how you've overcome that, and share goodwill. So it was great to meet Katya, because we had heard her story. You know, we witnessed her, and we were able to see her growth.
Sounds like an amazing relay.
It really was. Yeah,
it was.
What's your ambition for the foundation?
Number one, to grow at least a bit nationally, but to have different aquatic facilities that will welcome people, and you know, and we would like to be able to continue to raise money through swims, so that we do have the ability to you know, we have to fund these efforts. And that's what I'd like to see around the country, is to gain awareness, so that folks who, you know, are part of the swim community can help advocate us to some of these pool administrators, help us to gain access. And then we, of course, need other leaders from other groups and other areas to help lead some of these people to these pools and help them to kind of, you know, get in, give them whatever, whether it's lessing coaching sessions or just, you know, directions on how to get to the pool so that they can get into it themselves. I will tell you that we have a date to do this, to do the Catalina Channel Relay again. We do intend to do additional smaller regional swims. But for now, the Catalina Channel Relay will be kind of our, just kind of the notable swim that we want to leverage every year.
And how about coming over here to the UK?
I mean, we would love to.
Absolutely.
Come and do an English Channel Relay.
That sounds like a plan.
What has this swimming community meant to you?
I've been in sobriety for 5.5 years now. And one of the things that I was not willing to accept were other people. So my addiction took me in places where I was pretty much an isolator. I would sit by myself. I didn't want to involve with anybody else. I was extremely self-centered. What this has done and how this has afforded me benefits is that it allows me to get out of myself. It's built fellowship and relationships that are kind of deeper than I experienced previously. You know, we look out for each other. We keep checking in with each other, making sure everybody's okay. You know, it's a deeper relationship than just swimming with others. We truly care and love the people that we're meeting, and we want them to be successful. And we want to make sure that they have the tools that they need to get through the day in some cases. I wake up every day happy, joyous, and free, and I just want to be there for people. And if I can help somebody else, it makes me feel that much better.
That was a really lovely story. How can people get in touch with you?
I think the best way is visit our website, iswim4.org.
Jeff and Bill, thank you so much. As always, long versions of the interviews and links to connect to groups can be found at swimout.net. Now, over to Mikey on a windy day down at the sea.
Today I'm by Brighton Pier at Brighton Sea Swimming Club, which is my local club. It's the oldest club in the country. It was founded in 1860 and it's been going continuously since then, with only a brief period during World War II where the beaches were off limits. I'm going to have a chat with members and just ask them what the benefits they get from having an amazing club like this within the community. I'm here with Lynette Slight, who has been a member of the club for 10 years. And Lynette, what was it that made you join Brighton Swimming Club?
I moved to Brighton and didn't really know many people. I'd had friends that had lived here for a while, but I did an open water swimming course, met someone on that course that was a member of the club, and she said, come along to the club.
And did you meet a lot of other people at the club? Has that broadened your swimming social life or community life within Brighton?
Yeah, massively. Like I've got like a really big network of friends now that I would never have met. My oldest friend turned 80 and we had a party for her on the beach of the day, and you know, like I would never have met her normally. I think that's what's really nice about the club, is that you, like, everybody is from, you know, sort of 20 years old to kind of 80 years old, and there's that sort of, you don't ever really look at the age, you just look at the, you know, they're a swimmer. Since joining the club, my life's massively changed.
I think I found that the open water swimming community is the friendliest community I've ever been a part of. I did triathlons. It's not the same. We'll leave it at that. You'd be swimming with someone, you'd stop to do your goggles. People would stop and say, you're okay. It doesn't happen in other sports, you know.
Yeah, and it's lovely. You have the most randomest conversations about, you know, like, there's obviously a lot of menopause chat in there. But, you know, the other day it was all about the Royals, or, you know, and it's funny. Like, it's, you go down there in the morning before work and you've put the world to rights before you've even had a coffee. Now, I'll go down at 7:30 in the morning, I'll swim for, depending on the weather, for, you know, 5 minutes if it's cold, or 20 minutes, half an hour in the summer. Go for a coffee, and feels like I've had a full day before we've even got to work, and that's.
And you feel like you can take on the world once you're that cold. Yeah, yeah. It's like that cold shower star, isn't it? It's that kind of thing. Yeah, it's definitely about that community, isn't it? And that kind of sense of of all togetherness.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lynette.
That's all right.
I'm now with Noosha Malanian, and I'm going to just start by asking you, Noosha, what it was that made you want to join Brighton Sea Swimming Club.
Well, I moved to Brighton in 2020, and essentially I wanted to do something that was on my front doorstep. I suppose, to be honest, I hadn't done it before. I didn't have a huge amount of confidence. So what I really wanted was to join a community of sea swimmers that would help me build that confidence and just get me out there and doing it.
And did it? Did you gain more confidence? Did you do anything through the Brighton Swimming Club that you wouldn't have done on your own?
Definitely. Well, firstly, I just don't think I would have got in the sea by myself. I just had a bit of fear around it, thought it might be dangerous. First of all, I've just got in the sea more. I do it relatively regularly now. I've swum around the pier, so I did that with another member. Again, I just wouldn't have done that myself. I just wouldn't have had the confidence to do it. So it's really encouraged me to push myself outside of my comfort zone and embrace small challenges. The swim club and the community that the swim club has provided me with has really encouraged me to step out and embrace new challenges.
Noosha, what do you think a swim club like this brings to a seaside town community?
I think it brings a sense of togetherness. I think it is highly inclusive, so it doesn't matter your experience, how good you are at swimming, how confident you are at swimming. I have certainly felt like anybody is welcome, and I think that's a huge, valuable thing. And I also think there's not a barrier in terms of the cost of it. It's relatively low cost. Of course, the resource itself in terms of the sea is free, so you can swim as often as you like, and I think that's a real pull.
Your club sounds very friendly, Mikey, with lots of lovely people and a strong community.
Oh, it really is a great club, fantastic location right next to the pier. And I hope we get back to doing more and more social swims this summer. Tell me about your club, Vicky.
So I swim for Out to Swim London, the LGBT club, and I'm based in London. We've also got branches in Bristol and Brighton. But the club has been very, very important to me all through my life. I joined 30 years ago, and I've got many, many friends, old friends, new friends, young friends, old friends. It's similar to Brighton, actually. You've got a real variety of people, people who are learning to swim, people who are ex-Olympians. Yes, it's a very wonderful community to be part of. And it's one of those funny things where you don't always recognise people when they've got their clothes on because you're so used to, you know, only seeing them in their swimming kit. It's a great club. I love it.
It sounds like a great club. I'll definitely be coming to join you for a taste of swim soon.
I come from Bristol and I want to swim from Bath to Bristol down the River Avon in memory of my father, who rowed from Bristol to Bath on his 50th birthday. I want to do this swim, but one of the things I was put off by was the sewage issues. So I'm delighted to see that there's a new film about the River Avon called Rave On for the Avon. They're campaigning for cleaner water and for protected bathing status for one section of the river. We start with a clip from the film.
Oh, I swim in the river most days, rain or snow. If I don't do this, I'm going to go nuts.
Oh, I hear you.
That is nice, jingly.
Go on, go on.
Keep going this week.
Yeah.
We're just there for each other, and the water takes the pain away. What do you say?
Aggie Nagari was a key part of the female-led team that made the film. She's a Kenyan film director who lives in Bristol and loves swimming. The film charts the fight for both human and environmental well-being. Welcome to Swim Out, Aggie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What inspired you to make this film?
The fact that I swim in the river myself is a personal story. I'm very passionate about the local swim spot. And because of how much I've benefited from swimming there, the people that I've met that swim there, the fact that I've grown to love and care about them, finding out that there's some kind of advocating for the river and for the swimming spot, I felt like I had to be part of that fight. And so, yeah, I just wanted to get involved in any way, whichever which way.
And what changes are you hoping might happen as a result of the film?
Well, we're hoping that, first of all, they'll overturn the bylaw that prohibits that particular spot as a swimming spot, which will mean that they will then have the responsibility to care for it and make sure that it's clean. Because at the moment, it being a prohibited swimming spot means that whatever happens to it in terms of the pollution, the chemical, the sewage pollution, is not their responsibility. And they've kind of distanced themselves from looking after it to make it safe for human and, even bird life.
And what do you think that you discovered about swimming communities through making the film?
Well, that they care about each other, they care about nature, they care about their surroundings. Also, I've discovered how much people benefit from it. I didn't know, like, I personally felt like I was gaining something from it, but I couldn't really put a finger to exactly what it is. I just knew that I felt better when I swam in it. And now to discover that some scientific backing of why it's good for you, why it's good for your health, the endorphins that are released, the way it helps with mental health, with anxiety, with depression, and then meeting people who are poster children for that kind of, like those kinds of issues, and how they talk about the healing that they get from the river. You can see the importance of it for the people and how it's benefiting them. And that's something that I've discovered since starting to swim with the community and getting to know them and connect with them and bond with them.
So yeah, we're part of a campaign called Save Our Avon.
Do you guys know the mermaid who swims down the river with the big
boat? Yeah, we do know the mermaid. So yeah, getting married to the river. Gonna be Mrs. Avon.
Megan Ruth Trump is from the group Save Our Avon, who were featured in the film Rave On for the Avon. Welcome to Swim Out, Meg.
Thanks, Vicky.
When did you start swimming in the Avon?
I never really thought about swimming in Bristol until lockdown, when everyone else started swimming. And I discovered Conham River Park and started swimming there. And it was incredible to think that this wild swimming that I used to have to go out of my city to do, I could do here. And everyone was doing it, so surely it was safe. And then the more I swam, the more people I met, and that's when the campaign started, to try and understand more about the quality of the water and why people want to swim there.
So tell me about the formation of the group then.
My friend Emily is an artist, and we decided we wanted to collaborate on a project. We both love swimming outdoors, and I think it was just on a swim there that we decided that maybe we could do something lovely to bring people together for their love of the river. It all came together in a really nice way, and it felt really healing to do some activism that was joyful and a celebration and bringing together lots of different types of people. And it's been a ride.
Yeah, it sounds like it has. I read in a Bristol paper that Wessex Water spilled untreated sewage into the Avon for more than 100,000 hours in 2021 alone. Mm. So what have Save Our Avon been doing to raise awareness about these issues?
So we've been working in collaboration with the Conham bathers, who have been flagging up all of this untreated sewage that's being poured into there and telling swimmers when the spills are, so that people can be wiser to know when best to swim and when it's safer to swim. And initially it was just about getting everybody together in the incredible space next to the river that's so popular for swimming, but it's still illegal to swim there. So, and people are not treating it very well. There's lots of litter and the relationship with the locals isn't very good. So we wanted to work alongside the council to have an event with singing workshops and printing workshops. And we tried to do a lot in one day. but it was a huge celebration and it was really successful.
There's been a campaign, hasn't there, to get bathing water status for that spot at Conham River Park. Do you know how that's going?
So we managed to get over 3,000 signatures and lots of councillors' support, but we didn't get the okay from the mayor. And this is the story that is kind of at the heart of the film that's coming out, Rave On for the Avon. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens when the mayor leaves, because he was the final no to stop it, even though it's made a lot of sense. And our waterways all over the country are being polluted, and in lots of different ways, but with human sewage in particular in this part of the country.
You made a bold personal step with the river. Can you tell us about that?
We had this idea for a big event, the river event, to bring all the fisher people and swimmers and boaters and to bring them all together. And then the wedding was kind of an afterthought. I guess I was inspired by the Whanganui River case in New Zealand, where they managed to get personhood status for the river. And we also thought, a wedding is a good way to get press interested. It's a funny story. And it's been lovely. I've just been travelling around Mexico and the States and just bringing it up with all different kinds of people that I speak to. They ask if I'm in a relationship, and I'm like, well, I am actually. I'm in quite a committed relationship to the river in my hometown. And you get all different sorts of responses, but it's always interest and intrigue, even if they think you're mad.
It's a lovely idea, and I applaud you for doing it. Really nice. They've got some film of you getting married. Tell me a bit about what part you do take in the film.
So they found us on Instagram. It's a group of female film directors, one of whom lives on the river. So she thought, what a way to end this film. And the wedding was a huge poignant mixture of happy and sad, and it was incredibly moving. I was looking out into the audience and everyone was crying. We were trying to do shared vows, so it wasn't just me saying I do, it was all of us saying we do. We vow to do our best to love and care and protect this body of water for the rest of our days in whatever way we can. And it felt really powerful. It feels like a really beautiful way to end the film of work still needs to be done, but we can do it if we do it together.
Now Meg is going to make her vows. Do you call on all the courage and determination you possess to raise awareness of the issues facing this and every river?
Oh. I do.
What a lovely idea. I can't wait to see the film. They're trying to get showings around the country, so do look out for it. And to find out more, join the Rave On for the Avon mailing list. Also, follow them on Instagram and check out Save the Avon. All the links are on our website, swimout.net.
Thank you to all the lovely guests today for your contributions. And also, thank you, Mikey, for presenting with me. It's been such a giggle working with you.
Oh, yes, it really was, Vicky. And remember, we are the vegans of the swimming world.
Next time, I discuss swimming and grief. And I start by talking again to Shannon House Keegan about how swimming helped us to overcome our losses. But for now, it's swim out and swim safe.
Happy swimming, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Let's catch up next month.